Let's get our Bibles out tonight. Let's go to the book of Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11 and verse 12. And I want to read down through verse 22 tonight to get the whole context of what the Lord is saying here. Mark chapter 11 and verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, he's speaking to the tree here, no man eat fruit of thee henceforth hereafter forever. And the disciples heard it. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer any man that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But you have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, here's another day that has passed by. And as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Everybody said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. I want to preach about faith tonight. Amen. And I want to believe the Lord that he will strengthen our faith here tonight, and that he will help us to understand a little bit more about walking by faith and not by sight. Amen. Let's pray together and let's ask for the help of the Lord. Father, we thank you for the word of God tonight and for these that are here in this very special service. And Lord, we pray your anointing upon the word of God. Put your words in my mouth tonight, Lord, to speak your word and give us ears to hear the word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. And going to be getting into a few scriptures. So if I go a little bit quickly, I don't plan to preach a long time tonight. But I have said that before. So let's just get your pencil and paper out. You can write these down and take them home with you. Amen. What we need to do is to develop a walk of faith and trust in the Lord. Somebody said amen. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Everybody said, believe. Amen. If we come to God, we've got to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. Not casually seek him, but diligently seek him. And, you know, it really doesn't matter what's going on around you. I believe tonight that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. I believe that scripture tonight. Amen. Many, many times the nation of Israel found themselves in trouble, and that was what was surrounding them at different points in time. And we should be able to see through the eye of faith that the Lord, in all of our troubles, he is the one, the only one, that will never forsake us. And one particular point in time in the life of Israel was found in the time of Isaiah the prophet. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 13. Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 13. And now if you want to read and study in some of these prophets in the Old Testament, it is a good thing to look at what was happening around the time period that the prophet spoke. And it's important to see this and understand this because it puts it in more of a perspective of what the prophet was speaking about and what the Lord was trying to speak to Israel about at that point in time. And just to give us a little bit of a backdrop on this, this was a particular time here in which Israel was in real trouble. Isaiah was a man that prophesied here when things had gone astray. The nation had gone astray. They were worshiping other gods. They were not living for God. There was iniquity in their nation. There was lots of problems and troubles all around them. And the nation as a whole, not everyone, but a nation as the whole, had forsaken the Lord, and God was speaking through the prophet Isaiah in different places preceding this verse and other verses that there would be the Babylonians that would come. It would be Isaiah who prophesied of the coming of Nebuchadnezzar and the destruction of the temple and carrying away into Babylon, and even told them it was going to last for 70 years. The judgment had to come because there was sin, because the nation had fallen away. And so there was a feeling, no doubt, that because of what they had done, the Lord would forsake them and that God would cast his people away forever and that there would be no hope for them. Sometimes the things that happen in our lives, that happen in life, make us feel that way. But the truth of the matter is, if we have the Lord in our lives, we don't have to look at it that way. Praise God. And what the Lord was trying to do here, even before Babylon had come, even before the destruction of the Jerusalem and the prophetic utterances of destruction and rebuke and death and all kinds of things that were coming, the Lord was trying here to put a word of faith into the nation of Israel. And so when you put it in the context here, he wanted them to understand some of them are not going to come back from Babylon. It's going to be 70 years. They're going to die in Babylon. They'll be too old. They'll pass away in Babylon. But there would be a group that would come. There would be their children that would rise up and they would come. There would be some of the ancients or some of the elders, rather, that would be given a grant to come back to their homeland. And we know historically that 70 years to the year, King Cyrus made a decree and said, you can go back to your homeland. And it was Nehemiah that rebuilt the wall of the city of Jerusalem. It was the other fellow, I'm losing his name here right now, but he came and he rebuilt the temple. Zerubbabel came and rebuilt the temple of the Lord, and that's recorded in other places in the scripture. But the Lord was trying to put a word of faith into them. I hope tonight that I can put a word of faith into somebody's heart. Amen. That God is with you. Praise the Lord. God is with us. He wanted them to understand that Israel was their children, and he would return to them after a time of chastening. Amen. And there was a time to go down, and there was a time to come up, and they were about to face the time of going down, but God did not leave them in the place of judgment. He did not leave them in a place of hopelessness. He did not leave them in a place where they were going to be utterly destroyed and never remembered again. Amen. God loves his children. He really does. And in Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 13, in the context of what I'm bringing it as of how I'm bringing it out here tonight, here is what the Lord spoke through the prophet of the rebellious people of Israel and those that had judgment hanging over their heads. He said, sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. There's a prophecy right there of Jesus Christ. Thy walls are continually before me. The children shall make haste. Thy destroyers and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. Somebody ought to say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. And whenever the Lord did something with the move of his hand, he saw the name of his people. Praise God. And he prophesied here. He spoke of a day that there would be blessing. He spoke of a day that there would be good things. He spoke of the day the people would come back to their land and God would bless them. Amen. I read in the scriptures where the Lord said in, I believe it's in Matthew chapter 7. Let me turn there and see if I'm in the right place here tonight. That's it, Matthew 7 and verse 7. And he said, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find. He didn't say you might. He didn't say it would be a strong possibility. He said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And then he goes into a little bit of what he spoke there in Isaiah chapter 49. And he said, or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more? I want to emphasize that tonight. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even unto them, for this is the law and prophets. Amen. What he's trying to say here, even in Matthew chapter 7, he's speaking this to a rebellious nation. He's speaking this to a people that had gone astray, and it wouldn't be very long until they would be crucifying the very one that was speaking these words. And yet there is something in the heartbeat of God. There is something in the bosom of God. Amen. He has inscribed us upon the palms of his hands. Amen. He will not forget us. Amen. He said, the Lord, that Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. This hadn't happened yet. This was coming when Babylon would come and take them into captivity, and they would say, where is the Lord? He has forsaken us, and he is not anywhere around. What we've got to do is we have to have faith. Amen. We must have faith in God and believe that we are inscribed upon the palms of his hands. And when we are on the palms of his hands, he will remember his people and he will bless them in their time. Amen. We just need to walk by faith and not by sight. Praise the Lord. We walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So part of faith is hope and the evidence of things not seen. Amen. That would be that which is invisible. And Scripture says that which is visible is temporary, but that which is invisible is eternal. Amen. I want to get a hold of that which is eternal. I want to get a hold of that which is going to last forever. And the things that last forever are the things that come from God Almighty. Praise God. It is the word. Thy word is forever settled in heaven. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And if we will become people of the word of God and get our noses in the good book, amen, it will inspire faith. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm not going to get faith by an inspirational book, amen, although I read inspirational books. But I'm not going to get faith by the writing of some man. I'm only going to get faith by the word of God. And the way that faith is invested in us is through the preaching of the word of God. Amen. Preaching is very important to us. And, well, praise God, it ought to be very important to us, because it is the preaching of the word of God that infuses the word into our hearts. It is the way that the word is conceived in us, amen, that it will produce something that is beautiful in his time. He hath made all things beautiful in his time, amen. And so here Isaiah is prophesying, and he said, can a woman forget her child? That's very, very unusual, even though we see it in our generation. Amen. And does a man forget his son, or does he give him something other than what he asked for? Will he ask for something good and receive something evil? He said, no way. Well, praise the Lord. Not going to do that to my children. Amen. They ask for good things. If I can, I'm going to give them good things. Because there is something about love. Amen. And what the Lord is trying to say here is, I love my people, and I want to bless my people. Praise God. And I will bless my people. Amen. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is my way maker tonight, and I trust him. Anybody else trust him tonight? He is able. He is able, but not just able, he is willing. Amen. What we've got to look at in this prophecy tonight is that it is very similar to the calamity and the violence of the day of Noah. Amen. And Noah heard from God. Noah walked with God. I thank God for men in times of need that will stand and speak a word of faith. We need to hear a word of faith. Our faith needs to be inspired to believe God and to trust God. Amen. I wish y'all wouldn't just sit there and look at me like this is a college class or something. Because I'm telling you, we've got to walk by faith and not by sight. If you don't have faith, you're not going to please God. If you don't speak the word of faith, you're not going to please God. But I'm glad that there were men that stood up and said, thus saith the Lord. And Noah stood up and he said, thus saith the Lord. Amen. There's going to be a flood upon the earth. It's going to rain from the sky down to the earth. Everything is going to be flooded. And anyone who does not get in my boat is not going to make it. Kind of narrow-minded, hard-headed. Amen. You're one of those kind. Well, we've got our own boat out in the water, and we're going to make it. But I'm telling you, there was a deluge that was coming. There was a major storm that was coming, and it wasn't just a little hurricane that lasts for a couple of days. No, this was going to last for 40 days and 40 nights. A deluge of rain. They said in this hurricane that hit the East Coast just the other day, still there actually, and they said that when it was in the ocean, it was churning up the water, and there were 83-foot waves on the ocean. That's like two telephone poles on top of each other, and that would be the height of a wave. If you want to try to make it out of the storm with your little rowboat, just go ahead and try. But I'm telling you, it's not going to work. Amen. You got to have something substantial when you make it through that kind of a storm. You got to have something big and heavy. You got to have something with substance. You have to have something that you can really put your hope in. Amen. You've got to have something that when you get in there and the door is shut, you feel secure and you feel safe. Amen. If I could say it this way tonight, I know it means other things as well, but if I could say it this way tonight, the ark that Noah and his family built was the ark of faith in God. Amen. It was an example of faith. Faith will handle the big waves of life. Praise God. Faith is going to handle the deluge of rain of life. The rain descends upon the just and the unjust, but the unjust has a rowboat. Amen. And the just has an ark. I want an ark tonight. I want to be able to get into that ark of faith, into the Word of God, which is very substantial. Amen. It's got weight. It's got everything we need. And when God shuts the door, I'm telling you, everything is going to be all right. Well, praise God. But we've got to have a word of faith. Amen. And he said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. That's a word of faith to us tonight. Amen. And what we've got to understand and live out in our lives is that he will be with us all the way to the end. Amen. And he will never, ever leave us nor forsake us. He said, I'll be with you all the way to the end of the world. Somebody said the end of the age. Whichever it is, the world, the age, it's a long time. In other words, until I've wrapped this whole thing up and eternity starts, I'm going to be there with you. And if you're in my hand, nobody can pluck you out of my hand. Amen. We play that little game where we hold out our hand and we try to get it out of our hand, or we try to slap somebody's hand before they move it. Amen. The devil tried to snatch you out of God's hand, but God's a lot quicker than the enemy. And at the right time, the word of God comes forth. Praise God. Tell you what, you need to pray for the ministry. Amen. Because it's not sermons that we preach. Amen. It is not sermons that we preach. It is the word of God that we preach. Amen. And not just the word of God, but the word of faith. If all we do is preach facts and figures, amen, if all we do is preach doctrine, we're going to miss out on something. We've got to have a word of faith from the Word of God. I thank God for a promise tonight. Amen. The door's been shut, amen, in this thing of salvation. Praise God. He baptized me and my sins were washed away. Amen. He gave me an opportunity to turn from my sins, filled me with the Holy Ghost, and the door of salvation was shut. As long as I keep it shut, I'm inside the ark of faith. Amen. And everything is going to be all right. I feel something a little stirring here tonight. Amen. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee. That means it is near unto you. You say, well, it's in my heart. It ought to be in our heart. Amen. But there is more to it than just in our heart. It says the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. It's in your mouth. Amen. The word, amen, and in your heart. It's in the mouth and in the heart. The mouth speaks from the heart, Scripture says. That is the word of faith which we preach. Amen. So he's making reference to two people or two groups here, those that preach and those that hear. Those that preach are also those that hear. Amen. I need preaching in my life. I'm looking forward to the services coming up. I need to hear preaching in my life. I've got to hear from the Word of God. I've got to know, amen, him more and more by the Word of God. I need a word of faith. Amen. I want to be built up in my most holy faith. Amen. But there are two groups here. Amen. He said, the word is nigh unto you. This is Paul speaking to the Romans. He said, the word is near to you. So he's speaking to the Romans. And he says here, the Roman Christians, It's in your mouth and in your heart. And what is in your mouth and in your heart is the word of faith which we preach. Amen. So he goes back to himself as the preacher, as the minister that ministers the word of God. And so when the word of God is ministered to us, it has got to be a word of faith. Thank God for doctrinal teaching. Amen. Thank God for Bible series. I love to teach Bible series. You know that. Amen. I love to get into the study of the Word of God, but it's got to be more than head knowledge. It's got to be more than just coming and listening and hearing. It's got to inspire something inside of us called faith. Praise God. I believe God. I believe the Word of God tonight. And the Word is nigh unto thee. It's real close to us here tonight. It's in our mouth and in our heart. And it is the Word of faith which we preach, or that we have received from preaching. Amen. We've got to be those who have a Word of faith. Amen. Because we're living in a faithless generation. Amen. Go ahead and talk to the Abbases. Amen. To young man, I don't know how old he is, but from Iran, and Brother Troy's been talking to him. I'm telling you, there is a hunger in the hearts of many Muslim people. I don't know if he's Muslim or not, but there is a hunger in the hearts of many Muslims, and they are seeing visions of Jesus Christ, and there are things that are happening in the Muslim world today. We could wring our hands and say it's a hopeless situation. And I've got to be honest with you, when I look at the news and I see all of the things that are taking place in our world, it is so very easy to become negative. It is so very easy to lose faith in what God wants to do and what the Word says that He will do. Amen. But listen to me tonight. Every time God moved, it was in dire situations, but there was at least one person, and usually it was just one person, that stood up and said, "Thus saith the Lord." Amen. Well, praise God. And I feel like I have a word of faith here tonight for our church. I really do. I believe that the best days are ahead of us. Amen. And I didn't expect to get a big response on that, because I think sometimes when you're in the valley, you say, "Well, where is it? I've heard that before." But I'm telling you tonight, the best days are ahead for the church. Well, praise God. I really do believe that tonight. Amen. Because the Word of God says He will give good things to His children. It's not bad and getting worse. No, maybe it is in a faithless generation, but we are not of that faithless generation. We are those who believe to the saving of our soul. And not only that, we're going to reach out to somebody else and we're going to pull them from the fire. Amen. We're going to help them. Amen. God is going to help those that have the word of faith. Amen. He wants to bless us and He wants to do His work among us. Praise God. Well, praise God. In 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 1, amen, there was a famine in the city of Samaria. There was no revival. There was no move of God, and people were starving. Mothers were boiling their children and eating them to survive. It was a dire situation, but in the midst of that city, there was a prophet. And he said, "Tomorrow about this time," amen, "tomorrow about this time, there's going to be food plenty, and it's going to be sold at a cheap price because it's going to be so abundant." And one man said, "If the Lord would open the windows of heaven, might this thing be?" And he said, "You'll see it with your eyes, but you will not be a part of it." And it happened the very next day. The famine was broken, and there was more than enough for everyone. And the doubter was trampled under the feet of the people that were running out of the gate to go to where the food was. Amen. And the prophet's word stood, because it was a word from God, and it was a word of faith. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 16, they found themselves in another bad situation. And they were surrounded by the chariots and the horses. And they were coming after them. It was just the prophet and his assistant. Amen. And the assistant looked out and saw all of the chariots surrounding the city. And they were coming to get them. And it seemed like a hopeless situation. And the prophet said, Lord, open his eyes that he might see. I pray that God would open our eyes that we could see. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Not everybody is complacent. Not everybody is negative. Amen. There are people in our world that can stand in faith and say God is able to do exceeding abundantly. And the prophet did that very thing. Amen. And his eyes was opened and he saw the chariots of fire round about the city. Amen. Round about the city. And he said, there are more with us than with them. That's 2 Kings 6 and 16. We also see in 1 Samuel 17, and I spoke of it here this morning a little bit, where David faced the giant and everybody was afraid but one person, because there was one young boy who said, I believe that God loves us. Amen. Let me go fight this giant by myself. Amen. Because he is uncircumcised and we will defeat him. And he spoke to his giant and he said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. Are you facing a giant tonight in your life? I'm telling you, you need to speak the word of faith and believe God. Exodus chapter 13 and verse 14. Salvation had come, but now all of a sudden there's a sea in front of them and there are mountainous roads behind them and no way to escape. And Moses stood up. Thank God for a Moses that will stand up. And he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And right before their very eyes, the sea was parted, and they went through on dry ground. Amen. In Joshua chapter 3, the Bible says they were ready to cross over into the land of promise. The day had come. Amen. It was right before the day that they were to enter into the land of promise. All of the years of traveling, all of the years of suffering, and now they're at the edge of the water, and the waters were flooded, and there was no way to get across. Amen. It was hopeless. There was no way. They couldn't build a bridge, and they couldn't wait that long because they needed to get settled in and get some crops going. Amen. And a man of faith, Joshua, stood up and said, take the Ark of the Covenant, and when the priest's foot touches the water of Jordan, you're going to pass over on dry ground. Amen. And God stopped the river from flowing, and there was dry ground, and they walked across into the promised land. Amen. Anybody got a little bit of faith here tonight? Somebody said faith, faith, just a little bit of faith. I'll tell you what, you need more than just a little bit of faith. Amen. You need faith in the Word of God that when things begin to happen in your life, you can stand and say, my God is going to help me. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. When we came here, it didn't look very well. But I'm telling you that when I got into the pulpit for the very first message, amen, I stood in that little bitty skinny pulpit that was 12 inches wide. It was narrower than me. And it was made out of some 1x12s. And I stood right here in front of this pulpit. Maybe it was right here where the pulpit is. And we didn't even have a very good PA system. It was just a little Radio Shack situation. We still have it up in the attic as a memorial. A little Radio Shack deal with one knob on it. And it was a volume control, and that was it. And we had some junky speakers, and I stood up with a microphone, didn't have a cordless mic, couldn't afford it, amen, didn't want it anyway because there wasn't a whole lot of people to preach to. And there was just a handful of us are four and one more. Amen. And I stood and I preached from Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And I preached to the darkness. I preached to an empty church. And I said, God's going to give us a revival right here. And people are going to get the Holy Ghost. And people are going to live for God. You think I'm going to go 25 years down the road and because of a few that don't want to live for God and get complacent and all of that, I'm telling you what, friend, my God is still in the revival business. Praise the Lord. I believe that we're going to get to see the statement, we're in 6 months, 60 got the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we can fill this place up. Praise God. But I'm telling you what, if it's just me and my four sons and their wives and my wife, amen, I'm telling you what, I'm going to be a success with God because I'm going to retain a word of faith in my heart. Praise God. I believe the word of God tonight. I believe what God has said from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. Amen. I'm not interested tonight in failing. And somebody said recently, they said the only time that you fail is not when you don't achieve your goal, it's when you quit. Amen. Well, I'm telling you what, I don't know what the word quit means. I don't have any quit in me. Praise God. I tell you, I'm just at the point where I'm ready to go to the shop and have them take reverse out of the transmission in my car. Amen. Because I'm not backing up. I'm going to go forward in the Lord. If you've got a reverse in your walk with God, you need to take it out. Amen. And get a word of faith in your heart and believe God. Amen. Because in every instance that I read in Scripture, whether it was a rebellious people or a people of faith, God took care of His people. Amen. Because God loves His people. He shed His blood for His people. He paid the price for you. Amen. He's not going to throw you away now. It's not time to begin to develop a life of unbelief, but it is time to believe God. Amen. For a personal revival in your own life. Praise God. Come on, somebody, let's worship the Lord tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Sister Reed, come. Let's stand together tonight. Amen. It encourages me when someone receives the Holy Ghost from our church at a youth rally. Amen. It encourages me when people come and they receive the Holy Ghost in the song service. It encourages me when God begins to move upon a gentleman and says, you need to live for God. Where do I go? And the Lord just leads him right to the truth. Praise the Lord. This is half full. This is half full. It's not half empty. Amen. But some look at the half empty and they say, don't have much left. Well, I'll tell you what I'm looking at. I've got something left here. Amen. Praise God. Anybody want some? No, thank you. I'm not sick. Praise God. You can have the bucket of water or you can have the well. What a great message Friday night. Amen. You can have the bucket. You can have the cup. Somebody said, here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. You know what? It takes a little more than a cup like this to quench the thirsting of the soul. I can drink a lot of water because I sweat a lot. You know what I need? I need a barrel. Put it on some wheels and let me take it with me wherever I go. Because when I'm out and about, Brother Troy, there's somebody that God brings across your way and they want a barrel as well. But if all you've got is a little eyedropper, here, I'll give you a little bit. No. Tell you what, we've got to give them something. We've got to have something. And that something is a word of faith. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's go forward tonight, church. Don't let anything distract you. Don't let anything dissuade you. Don't let anything, young person, turn your head to this world, because in this world there is faithlessness. The only thing that's in this world is trusting in pleasure, trusting in riches, trusting in the things of this life, but that's all it is just a facade. It's empty. It does not have anything at all. Amen. There's only one place. It's at the river. Amen. Ezekiel, I love the book of Ezekiel. He was by the river and he was praying. He was a young man. He was probably about the age of some of these young men, maybe just a little bit older. And the king of Babylon had made eunuchs out of them. If you don't know what that means, ask your parents after church. They'll let you Google it out or something. They had no hope for their future. They're in Babylon, way, way far, hundreds of miles from home. Never having the promise of ever getting back home. You're going to do what the king of Babylon tells you to do. All of that. He's down by the river. He's praying. He's confessing his sins. He's confessing the sins of the nation. He's not looking for anything but God. And all of a sudden, a vision comes to him. And in the vision, he gets caught up in the Spirit. Praise God. Amen. That's what we got to do. We got to get caught up in the Spirit. Amen. I said we got to get caught up in the Spirit on a regular basis. He got caught up in the Spirit, and the Spirit took him to the temple of the Lord. He was hundreds and hundreds of miles away from the temple of the Lord. But there, he saw under the altar, all of a sudden it began to leak. Amen. We got developed a little leak in the bathroom right before church. Of course, it's always right before church. But this didn't come from the bathroom. Amen. Came out from underneath the altar, the place of repentance, the place of coming to God, the place of sacrifice, the place where we give our lives to God, where we turn from our evil ways and we give our lives to God. He saw in a vision water coming out from underneath that altar. And it went out of the door of the house of God. And it was a river. It was a mighty rushing river. When he told that prophecy, or he wrote it down and others read it, some of them just probably threw it over their shoulder and said, "Ha, dreamer, you've got no future. You're in Babylon. You're in bondage. There's no hope for you. There's no hope for us. If God loves us, why are we in this condition that we're in right now?" And you can hear the words that are said, but the prophecy was real. Because even in their troubles, amen, even after God judged Israel as they were coming through the wilderness, into the promised land, he rebuked them and many of them died. And the next word that came from the Lord spoke and said, "Moses, tell the people, when you come into the land of promise, here's what I want you to do." And he begins to lay out some of the laws and some of the things that he wanted them to do. It was almost as though he rebuked them and chastened them, and then he turned his eyes immediately toward their future. Amen. "I'm going to bless you, and here's what you need to do when I bless you. Here's what you need to do when things begin to happen." Amen. You know where that comes from? Faith. It comes from the Word of God. It comes from the promise of God, because the promises of God are yea and amen to the glory of God. Praise the Lord. Come on, let's lift our hands tonight and let's thank God for His Word. Praise the Lord.